503-864-6326. That's a Vancouver Ford text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at VancouverFord.com. We'll take some of your feedback on the college football playoff rankings as we go along. But we are talking about, you know, how it's becoming more and more confusing how the college football playoff is measuring these teams. Mm-hmm. And one thing that Dave Bartu and Adam McClintock, College Football Matrix and College Football Professor, they both are saying, look, quality wins mean a lot. Bad losses mean a lot. And then this metric of game control, how well you do at, you know, it doesn't matter if it is a blowout win or, you know, you can have some tight games, but are you controlling pacing? Are you controlling the game in its totality, right? The thing with Indiana that is wild to me is that, yes, their strength of schedule is bad. It is, unequivocally. But everybody is pearl-clutching at this, like, we won't find out this week what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, and with so many games that are, again, we talked about last week being an eliminator, there's going to be the same situation this week.
Yeah, game control is what Indiana, at sitting at five, they are with a game control of 30.1.
Mm-hmm.
It's the highest in the country.
Yeah, when you absolutely annihilate everyone off the face of the planet.
Yeah, you're beating the brakes off of the, which is what you're supposed to do, right? Like, you're not playing with your food. You are every single week just slapping teams around. Which, and they have the best game control of anybody. 30 is considered exceptional. They're at 30.1.
That's where the BCSification of this comes from, the style points. That's why I feel like there's maybe a little bit more being sprinkled in the sauce than what we're currently allowing for.
What happens, though, and what the College Football Playoff Committee is telling us is that if they have questions about you and they don't believe in you and you lose, okay, they will punish you to the nth degree.
Mm-hmm.
And that if they lose to Ohio State big
badly,
and they don't control the game very well, and it's like, you, maybe the margin is, you know, 7 points at the end, but they outscore Ohio State 21-7 in the fourth quarter, right? Ohio State was in control of that game, right? That means they were up by 21 heading into the fourth quarter. And so when you take that into consideration, like, that is a game control metric, right? A gap could be closed at the end, and it could look like it's a closer game than it actually is. Well, with their strength of schedule being 118, what do we think that margin of victory is, or margin of defeat would be, for Indiana to save face? Like, is it anywhere between 3 and 6? Like, if they lose by more than a touchdown,
it's less than 9.
You think it's less than 9?
Yeah, on the road. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like under double digits is a good marker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, those are the things that we're going to have to keep an eye on. But it's also, we talk about, what has Notre Dame done?
Yeah.
Right? They lost to Northern Illinois. Bad loss.
Bad loss.
Does it feel like the Army's being propped up this weekend?
No, because they're undefeated. I mean, they should make quick work of them, right?
But I know, but again, Army's up at 19th right now, and I feel like they maybe got a little boost maybe ahead of Notre Dame to maybe to bolster that a little bit.
Well, but the back end of the
rankings.
But
it's a weird season this year, though. It's a weird season where a lot of your typical blue bloods are not what they usually are. And you've got some other ones from smaller conferences and such popping up and being undefeated, like Army.
5 spots this week.
Yeah. Yeah. But everybody else in front of them also took a tumble.
But again, 5 spots?
Yeah.
That feels like they're giving a little bit of juice to Army to maybe juice up
Notre
Dame a little
bit. Look at what the back end of the rankings are.
Well, that would be a shocker. Yeah.
They are all to give teams in front an opportunity to have a quality win.
Yeah,
right?
If UNLV wins this week and they've got Boise State, possibly.
Arizona, and look, you have 4 teams that were not ranked a week ago that have popped in.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because you have losses by Kansas State and Washington State and Louisville LSU. And LSU, right? And they're all like, okay, bye, good riddance. So those 4 teams, that's where Army moves up 5 spots, right? They jumped Missouri. I think. Missouri's the only one that was...
They're off.
They didn't move.
Yeah.
And they just kind of are staying idle. But every other team on there, right? Tulane's right behind Army.
Mm-hmm.
That is just to give the AAC a little boost coming in.
Yeah.
Right? The UNLV at 24. That is to give Boise State a little bit of juice if they beat them in the Mountain West Conference Championship game, right?
If it does go that way.
Yeah. Arizona State being in at 21. That's helping the Big 12 to, right now, Boise State would have a bye because they are the fourth highest ranked mm-hmm. conference championship team. But look at what the committee did behind them. No matter who wins the Big 12, we'll have a better win.
Yeah, because you have four Big 12 teams between 14 and 22.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're going to, and they're going to say, well, you know, it was really impressive what insert Big 12 school here did in conference championship weekend. You know, that's how this is going to play out. Like, we can all see it. The writing is on the wall.
And that's what I'm saying. This is where it feels very similar to the BCS era.
Yeah, it is. But one thing that is interesting is Texas, right? Texas sitting there.
They're back, right?
Yeah, Texas is really good. But they have got one last chance to kind of make their imprint and say, we belong. They have not played they have not beat a top 25 team, right? The schedule, you want to talk about a schedule breaking your way. It broke their way they don't have a top 25 win. It's broke their way absolutely 100%. They only have two quality wins on the schedule. They do have like a bunch of really decent but okay teams. Texas right now, it comes down to like a one game. They've got to beat Texas A&M. They have Kentucky this weekend, mm-hmm. which we remember. Kentucky beat Ole Miss.
Yeah, a little bit of a giant killer in them.
Yeah. I have a SEC stat bomb for you.
Mm.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Texas hosts Kentucky this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you know the furthest west Kentucky has ever played a football game?
Oh.
Is it actually west of the Mississippi?
Kentucky football. They have played 1,354 games in their program's history. This Saturday will be the furthest west they have ever played a football game.
You're kidding. There hasn't been a bowl game that's taken them to the West Coast?
Austin, Texas is the furthest west Kentucky has ever played a football game.
Now, I'm trying to look at my geography. Is that west of the Mississippi barely?
Yes.
Just barely.
Yes, by a substantial margin, but it is.
Well, you got your bayou and stuff, sure.
Think about that. Kentucky
has
never,
truly disgusting.
Never played west of Austin, Texas.
They don't go west of the Mississippi or north of the Mason-Dixon line.
Yeah, yeah. And
which
so,
just means more here.
But SEC football, y'all.
But this is where the SEC wins. The SEC wins on their messaging, right? We all heard Kirby Smart. I don't know what the playoff committee is looking like. You got to go through this conference, yada, yada, yada. Yeah.
Well, and against Mercer.
Let me give you this. USC, what's their season like right now? They are 3-5 in Big Ten play.
Mm-hmm.
They beat LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma State, 0-7 in Big 12 play.
Yeah. Who did they knock off?
Arkansas.
Yep, and
Cal is 1-5 mm-hmm. in ACC play.
They knock off
Auburn
mm-hmm.
on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Georgia State is 0-6 in the Sun Belt.
And who did they knock off?
Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the messaging.
Who
here.
Did Vanderbilt knock off?
Alabama.
Okay,
like in that is it's the messaging part of college football, and is what
it's coming.
SEC,
it's unraveling.
No, the SEC does it better than anybody. Because is it unraveling? Because everybody is saying, no, the SEC deserves it. The SEC deserves it.
I think you have 20 years plus of saying the same thing over and over again that people started to believe it. But I think you're starting to see this unravel as their grasp on the recruiting, their grasp on the messaging. Because, look, Kirby Smart is an incredible coach. One of the three, probably four best coaches in all of college football. He sounds like a whining, petulant child every time you put a mic in front of him right now, because things aren't all perfect for Georgia anymore, because they aren't four deep everywhere, and they can't steamroll every single team. And what used to project as power from the SEC, from Nick Saban, and then from Kirby Smart, and you just kind of fall in line, now sounds weak.
No, well, and this is what I said lately the last couple of days. When the SEC cannibalizes itself in the regular season, it's because they're so deep. Yeah. When the Pac-12 cannibalized themselves, it's because they were a weak conference.
Yes, and there were often times that that was true with the Pac-12.
Yeah,
but
often, but not always.
Yeah.
Not a rule of thumb.
It was not always that case. But that is it. It's a messaging behemoth that the SEC has. And oh, by the way, they do this with 8 conference games. Like Alabama played Mercer, beat them 52-7, and jumped Miami.
Well, I mean, have you seen who the SEC is playing this week?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Texas got Kentucky, but...
But I mean, you kind of.
And by the way,
Georgia is playing Massachusetts. It's not a basketball matchup. Tennessee is playing UTEP.
Yeah,
like you just kind of go through
the minors.
South Carolina is playing Wofford.
Digging deep, those minors.
I mean,
the Terriers.
Good Wofford. Gravy. Yes, you've got Alabama, Oklahoma, which is supposed to be a bigger game. You know, God, I would laugh endlessly if Oklahoma somehow wins that game.
And this has not been an argument that has ever not made before. Is that it's dumb that one conference plays 8 conference games and all the rest play 9.
Yeah.
It's just dumb.
I want so badly Kentucky to go to Austin and win. Do you want to see meltdown happen? You want to see a meltdown happen? What does the SEC do then? What does the SEC do then?
Mm.
Agent of chaos.
Yeah.
Agent of chaos.
Again,
It'd be so great.
There's nothing I want more than an SEC team going to Boise in late December.
I want to see it happen. I know as of right now, the bracket would have Boise as a bye.
Yeah.
They would get a bye.
I don't think that's going to happen.
That they're not setting up for that. I do believe, I hereby declare, they are setting them up, though, they could get to that spot.
May I pose a different question that perhaps we can talk about?
Sure.
Either next segment or sometime later on today. These college football playoff rankings, should it not be about just the top 4, but also who would project to be a conference champion and what those top 4 seeds would look like?
Well, they do that. They bracket them out.
Well, right, but...
You don't know. I mean, we just went through we just went through 10 scenarios of the Big Ten yesterday. You want to know the SEC and the Big 12? They have like 50 scenarios right now.
But
and I think that's impossible to do. All they can do is just put out their top 25,
right?
And then you go from there. And we're smart enough to figure out what that would look like.
But so right now, like in the top 5 college football playoff rankings, you have 3 teams from the Big Ten in there.
Yeah.
And so,
because their job is to tell us who they believe are the 25 best teams in order, right?
Understood.
And
then, should it not be a different discussion in this current playoff scenario?
No, because we know, right? We know that the teams that would have a bye based on their rankings right now are Oregon, Texas, Miami, and Boise State. Okay. Outside of that, then you would have the 5 seed is Ohio State, 6 seed is Penn State, 7 seed is Indiana, 8 seed is Notre Dame, 9 seed is Alabama.
5, 6, and 7 are Big Ten teams.
And then, well, 10, 11, 12 are SEC teams.
Mm-hmm.
So just send them on the road.
I just feel like at this point with the new 12-team playoff and the way they have 4 seeds getting a bye based on conference championships, the current top 25 ranking like they do it now is obsolete, and that they should do it. They should maybe perhaps rank those top 4 seeds based on who they think would be those conference champions that would be in those seeds.
Yeah.
With the bye.
I understand what you're saying, but it's impossible for them to project that right now. Right. They just got their job is just, hey, we tell you who we think are the top 25 teams, and then you guys can figure out how that plays out in a, you know, theoretical world. Because
right.
It is in theory of everything else. Their job is to say, this is who we believe are the top 25.
Yes, I get that that's their job now. I just wonder if that should be amended going into the future based on the current landscape.
No, because then they look even more dumb if they say Oregon's going to win the Big Ten and Ohio State ends up winning or Indiana ends up winning.
It's right? Oops.
Yeah, right. They already get criticized for having teams ranked where they are right now, right?
Fair enough.
You know what I mean?
Fair enough.